joins us.
Okay.
The first question, or the first issue, is about the meeting. In June, on the 10th, it's going to be the basic science meeting. On the 11th, there's a joint meeting between the clinical group and the basic science group. And on the 12th, there's going to be a joint meeting of the clinical and some of the basic science participants, along with the PASS project, from 9 until 2 p.m. And I'd like to get some sentiments about whether people in the clinical group would like to meet separately on the night of the 11th. Or
I should say extend the – yeah. Just what do you mean? Meet separately or extend the meeting?
Well, it'll be a joint meeting, and the people from the basic science group, some of them will be leaving probably around 2 o'clock.
So, in other words, to continue.
Yeah, so we would continue with just a clinical meeting.
Yeah, okay.
Like from about 3 o'clock, maybe till around 7.
Yeah, okay. I found out today that it's much less of a problem to keep that room going.
Okay.
You know, because we do have to pay for Wendell, but it's only $65 an hour, so I can easily cover that. And all he needs to know is a little bit ahead of time how long we want to go. He takes care of all the paperwork. I don't have to do any paperwork.
All right, so considering that the meeting on the 12th will be a joint meeting with the PASS project, I think it might be a good idea for the clinical group to meet for, like, maybe just 3 hours alone.
So what you're saying is that there wouldn't be a clinical, other than meeting Wednesday night, there wouldn't be a clinical meeting because it'll be joint with the PASS group.
It's going to be joint on the 12th with the PASS group.
Yeah. And
Sarah, I think what you know, people like to catch their planes, so they leave two or three. So my hunch is that, except for the basic science people who are going to stay over.
Uh-huh.
For the PASS meeting, and there are a few of them that I want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Tim Cudd,
mm-hmm.
maybe some others. Jennifer, for sure. She's not on the call right now, but we need her because of nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Warren, I can provide an update on this. I know that Drs. Zhao, Goodlett, Thomas, and Cudd are staying over for the PASS meeting.
Okay.
And how the schedule is written right now, the joint meeting between the basic science group and the clinical group will run from 8:30 to 2 p.m. on Wednesday.
Okay.
The basic science people who are departing on the 11th are then free at 2 o'clock, and we have written down to have from 2 to 6 o'clock a clinical-only meeting, and that could be extended if it works out for the group.
Okay. So the issue is how long do we extend it, to 6, to 7, to 8?
I would be in favor. I mean, I'm not in favor of long meetings, but since I won't be there on Thursday, I would be fine with extending it on Wednesday night.
All right. So why don't we go from 2 to 7, on the night of the 11th?
Okay.
And that way, if we want to end early, we'll end early. But at least we know we'll have Wendell booked up.
Thursday is your study section. Is that it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And Kim S.P. also, we're traveling together.
Okay, because if we need to steal you from that for a while, we may do that.
You're going to have to talk to him.
Talk to who?
I don't know. I haven't missed a study section meeting before.
I think Dr. S.P. is actually the chair for that section.
He's the chair for the section, yeah.
S.P.? Yeah.
Doctor, yeah.
Is that an NAAA committee or a...
No, it's CPDD.
CPDD.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we'll go later that night, and if you can check with Wendell to see if he can keep it till 7, you know, it's we'll be fine then, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, it's unfortunate that Ken's not on the phone, but maybe, Tina, you can fill us in on how the tablet PC worked. We're all waiting.
Okay. So I think Andy Aronson and Leela worked hard, and Michelle, to make some modifications to the entry tool so that it's more user-friendly and also more likely to reduce errors. So they got as far as they could go, and Ken did work on it. He didn't have time to work on it in advance, before he saw kids, he messed with it. And Jeff Rogers was along with us, so he had kind of his personal assistant who helped him work through it. He really can't do it with the stylus. He had to work with the mouse or with the keyboard to do it. And he really had difficulty in using it at real time in doing the exam. So Jeff worked kind of as a scribe for him in putting the data in. But they did come up with a bunch of recommendations about ways of navigating through the tablet PC that would make it easier to navigate and also easier to correct errors. So I think Andy's gotten some feedback from Jeff on this. Is that true, Andy?
Not only have we gotten feedback, we had about a 2.5-hour session this morning based
okay.
on feedback with Jeff and trying to come up with what we would do about that feedback, and I have some results from that I'm looking forward to sharing.
Okay. So after that, he did enter 5 or 6 cases in the tablet PC and then put in some concerted effort afterwards to just get more familiar with it. So I think that there are definitely some pluses to it and that some of the kinks need to be worked out.
So it's a problem both of the program as it stands as well as just not being familiar with the interface.
I think so. And then there are some things that might vary from site to site, like, I don't know, like, for example, if he were seeing somebody in Sarah's office, I can see where maybe the demographic information would be filled in ahead of time in the tablet PC, and then he could go to that record and enter the rest of the information as he's doing the exam. So some things that might save time might vary from site to site, depending on whether or not there was somebody that could do that in advance.
All right. So basically, should we purchase additional ones or hold off and see if it is going to work?
You'll have to ask Ken that, but I think maybe Andy's feedback on this would make a difference. I mean, if I had to say today, I would say hold off until any revisions to it made it so that it was possible to use it in the field satisfactorily.
Okay.
Can I comment on that?
Pardon?
Can I comment on that?
Sure.
The sense we've gotten is that we're never going to reach a point where an examiner can do the data entry at the same time they do the exam without a scribe. And we can talk about that if you want to, you know, say, understand why we've come to that conclusion. But that's based on what we heard from Jeff and from Ken and what we think is possible in updating the system.
Okay.
Once you put a scribe in the room who's using a computer to help them, and we think that that really is a very workable solution, though obviously there are costs associated with it, do that. You don't need it to be a tablet PC.
Right.
It can be any old laptop.
Okay. All right, well, let me talk to Ken then and get his impression, and we'll see what we want to do from there. Is Lila on the phone?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Hi. Maybe you could update us on the dysmorphology database, because that was another topic that was held over from last call.
I'm progressing on making the corrections kind of slowly, because as I'm looking at the corrections and making them, new problems are arising. So I expect to be done with the corrections that I originally set out to make by the middle of next week and have a report of additional problems that will need to be addressed.
Okay, and I noticed that you and Andy have been emailing each other back and forth about it. So
yeah, that's kind of the end point, however. Once we have a corrected data set, I've been talking to Andy more about the logistics of putting that into place for you all. Before that can happen, the investigators will need to make decisions on certain items within the data set that I can't address myself.
So do you think that by the end of April we will have a complete dysmorphology or a correct dysmorphology database that people can then start utilizing?
myself, I will have the corrected, the first pass on the corrections, everything that I set out to correct, will be done by the end of next week. And depending on what the investigators want to do further, that may take another week or so. And then I'm not sure of any timeline that that Andy has on completing the most recent version of the input tool so that it can accommodate these data.
Andy, do you have any other comments on that?
I think that we're talking about a relatively small amount of work to accommodate the data, because Lou, I think you're referring to there's a couple of new variables that need to be accommodated, right?
Right.
And so if we consider that separate from any changes to the interface in terms of making the interface easier to use for new data entry, then we should be talking about, you know, a relatively small amount of time to update the input tool and you know, a few days to get data to replace the existing data with the corrected data. So end of April seems like
Okay, so at the next conference call, we can expect to hear good news that the dysmorphology database is usable and ready to go?
There's very good news that the cleaning is going extremely well. The bad news is that there are questions that had not come up previously that I need to have answered by investigators. But we're finding the problems, definitely. You're going to have an excellent data set.
Yeah, I just, you know, my concern is getting an excellent data set that we can use sometime in the near future.
The end of April is a fine guideline. I mean, if Andy says it's going to take a minimal amount of time to get the data reposted to the repository, I should be done with my work by middle of next week, and then I expect another week to deal with whatever the investigators come up with about the problems I've discovered.
I know we've been joined by a few other people.
Michael Charnas. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good. I've been on since about 4.
Okay. Anyone else?
This is Bill Barnett.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Don.
Elizabeth here. Elizabeth Moore.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Okay, because Elizabeth, you're next on my list of notes anyway. In terms of, could you give us an update on the 3D camera? I know they had a little bit of a problem in the Ukraine.
Do you want me to go now?
Sure.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Tina could probably address most of it since she was there. All I know is they weren't able to use it at all.
Well, I can address it. What happened was we've never gone into Ukraine in multiple times where we actually had to go through customs screening. So we don't know whether it was because it was a holiday weekend, it was International Women's Day, or what the deal was, but they made everybody put their baggage through the screening setup, and Jeff, of course, had a big box with equipment in it, and when asked what it was, we had a letter indicating that it was being used for training, but the person who was the customs official at the time was not the lead person, and they said they couldn't let it into the country, particularly because the people who were going to use it were not in Kiev. They were in the city where we were going. So we tried over the next 2 or 3 days to try to overcome this, and we're unable to do it. So Jeff and I talked to Tatiana, and we come up with a second a method of getting around it. What they need is a quote-unquote blue-stamped agreement between Indiana and the Ukrainian Diagnostic Center, indicating what it's being used for, how long it's going to be there, and that it'll be taken out of the country once they're finished with it. So we were unable to, the bottom line was we were unable to get it in to do the training for this particular visit.
Okay, so the camera came back then?
Yes. Yeah, the cost, I think Jeff had to pay, you know, $40 a day to keep it there.
Yes,
part of the issue was the price of the equipment. He valued it at about $40,000, so I think they were worried about the value of that kind of equipment coming in.
Okay. All right. Tina, also I noticed that did Ken start measuring left and right papillary fissures or no?
He did, yeah.
He did. He left the rulers.
Yes, and he's perfectly capable of measuring left and right with a one-sided ruler.
Okay.
But I'm sure he'll be pleased to have the rulers.
All right. The other update that I have is on the prenatal ultrasound in the sheep model. Tim Cudd tried to do that with 140-day gestation sheep, and they couldn't do it. They got really poor images, and they think it's because the bone was too thick at that time. So they're going to try to do it earlier in gestation. But that's the update on the sheep model that may be of interest to Andy. I don't think he's on the phone, though. So
no.
But you might be able to tell him that.
I'll pass that on to him.
That's what they're doing.
Did they say how stressful it was to the sheep?
I don't know when they did it in terms of whether the sheep was sedated or not. But they just said that it was not possible to get any images. So, but they didn't say that it seemed stressful enough that they weren't going to try to do it earlier in gestation.
Okay.
I think the bone on the sheep, they were saying, closes up sooner than in humans.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's still a possibility, but so far the technical issues are still presenting a problem.
Okay.
The other thing is, if Ken's not on, we don't know whether he was in touch with Gene or Luther and got any more of the image data from the South African site of Sandy's. Ken was supposed to check with Gene on that, so I'll email him about that. Leela, the data from Rome, from the Italian study, are there issues on that database that we need to see or need to deal with? Because Wendy's on the phone now.
Yeah.
If there's any.
Apparently, there are several exams that are marked canceled, OFC normal, and entered into the database with insufficient data to classify FAS. The issue is, do we just delete those because they're not complete exams by any stretch, and they're marked canceled on the forms?
All right. Do you think that you could get Phil or me, so I could direct it to Phil, a list of those subjects to see whether or not they have more complete data than we have gotten to put in the database?
Sure. I have another few hours of work to do on his data to get a complete list for you, but yes.
All right, because I know that came up on the last conference call.
I can also add, you know, we did ask at one point. I don't know if it'll be the exact same list, but those subjects were not evaluated. The ones that say canceled were not evaluated.
Right, there's a little bit of data. There's height, OFC, weight sometimes.
Yeah, because what they did is the first pass through, they go just get height, weight, and head circumference. And if they don't meet, I think my understanding is if they didn't meet a certain criteria, then they didn't go forward with an exam.
That's what it appears to be, but unfortunately in the data set, many of those have zeros entered for features, that meaning no on features that were never evaluated. So I think it was a little confusing from looking at the data alone. So I'm looking at the hard forms, and that I want to remove all the people that had canceled exams.
Yeah. So, Wendy, that's true, right? During the first pass there, you have certain height and weight restrictions, and if they don't meet those, the child's not evaluated further, right?
Well, actually, we have certain kids that we set as a cutoff. I mean, we had certain parameters we set as cutoff for head size, height, and weight, but then we had a number of control children also. So what I would assume is that those kids got the first tier screening, the height, weight, and head circumference, but for whatever reason, they weren't seen in tier two.
Okay.
So they may just have been absent from the school or...
So we may want to get them out of the dysmorphology database.
That's right? What I would think, but it would be good to just get those numbers, like you said, Ed, and then we can go back to our raw data and see if we have any more information.
All right, so Leela, can you get that either to Phil or to me?
Sure, and there's also a significant number of people without birth dates either in the database or on the hard form. And the forms, at least for Italy, appear to be copies of the original form. They don't appear to be a transcribed form. So I'm wondering if you have any other source for the birth date.
Actually, we do, because we did two forms. We did the consortium form, and then we did another dysmorphology form. So we could cross-check
Great.
Those.
Great. So I will get you a complete list of the questions that I have that I can't answer from the existing copies that I have.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Okay.
In terms of the 3D images, I know that Tatiana has been in touch with Alona, and it looks like we're making progress in getting permission to use the finished 3D photos, although it's going to take a little time. I guess Alona has had some work and medical problems. So do you have any update on that, Elizabeth?
Nope, that's the same thing I've heard, so nothing new.
I think it's moving along, but there's always an issue. And Tatiana's not here, but Sarah and Tina, do you have any update on the alcohol and control questionnaires?
No.
Nothing? Are you guys doing anything about that, or?
I haven't. Tatiana had sent, you know, around a request for specific information. I provided what she wanted, but I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, I haven't either.
All right. Well, then I have to get on Tatiana about that. All right. And the last item that I have on the agenda is, Andy, you wanted to discuss a couple points. I sent out that information to everybody. And so you have the floor.
Okay. Well, we've tried to look at what people need done between now and the June meeting and make sure that we understand what people are asking us to do, and give you all feedback on what we can do and make sure the priorities are correct. All kind of laid out there. What we're proposing is that now in June we would do whatever other changes are requested to alter the way the dysmorphology input works, as well as any accompanying changes to the central repository to be able to accommodate things like the 999 values and the new variables, that we would finish out the phase two, the neurobehavior. We've got 14 of the tests ready or about ready to go, and there's three more that we need data for before we can do anything with them.
Mm-hmm.
That we would create a method for identifying what the primary record for the primary exam for a patient for dysmorphology is, since there are multiple exams, and that would create a way for people to select sets of data from the central repository that go across different types of data. So you can get neurobehavior and dysmorphology and other types of data with a single query instead of having to join them yourself. To do that, you know, as a consortium, we need to reach an understanding about what's really required to make that happen, who's going to do what, when, and where in terms of defining that primary record. And there was a lot of discussion about that a month or two ago, and we want to put out a text of what our understanding of that is and try to reach a conclusion so that we could get started doing the work. And then the fourth thing would be to make it so that the alcohol and control data can be uploaded to the central repository. And along the way, if we can get that list of what the core variables are, probably the right path forward so that people who want to use just the core variables have some way to enter that data would be to take the existing alcohol and control input tool, maybe just provide a special subsection of it where people who are just entering core data can do that, that they'd have just one place where they enter it instead of having to hunt through and find the core variables through the rest. And it's, you know, it will take a concerted effort, but if we get all the requirements we need fast enough, we can get some quick turnaround times on people who are testing software that we've written, and we don't get anything else added to the list, we think we can get most or all of that done by June. It does leave a couple of other things not done by June. And one is providing a way to upload the Bailey and maternal questionnaire info that we've dubbed the infant neurobehavior. And another is extending the 3D facial imaging central repository to be able to accept in-progress files. And if those really need to be done by June, we're going to need to bring on some more staff.
Well, I think besides, I think you've laid out a reasonable timeline for doing things. One of the things that I'm concerned about is the alcohol and control data, is that Tatiana was supposed to be in touch with the past people to see what common measures were going to be used. And I'd hate to see you do that and then have to add or, you know, delete measures based upon that commonality. So I think that we really need to get that going before you, you know, put in a tremendous amount of effort on that and then find out, you know, you have to change everything. I mean, Tina, I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, you're the one who has most of the prospective data.
Yeah, I agree if Tatiana is going to gather information from the past study that we got to have that would be critical in order to identify what the core variables are.
All right. So let me talk to Tatiana next week and see what we can come up with about that. All right, Andy?
Yeah, and I'll say that the alcohol and control really is sort of two dividable parts to that work. And one is getting the data that we're already collecting uploadable.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, doesn't depend on knowing what the core variables are. So we can and have gotten started on that already.
All right.
And then it may be, one thing, and I can get with Tatiana on this, I'm sure she's doing this, is looking at commonalities between the variables that might be considered core that are already in that database and how comparable they are to what the past study is using. So that we're not, you guys don't, Andy, have to turn around and create an entirely different core variable data entry tool if they're, what we have right now is covering it close enough.
Well, I've been assuming that it was going to be a subset of what we already have, and if it's not, that...
it creates a different scenario.
It creates a very, potentially very different scenario in terms of our ability to get something up and running in time.
All right, well, Tatiana, I know she has not really been involved or hasn't done anything about it, and she emailed me and told me that she was going to start getting down to business on it, but that was maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So we'll just have to wait and see, and I'll get in touch with her. I did send everybody's abstracts out to the past project, and so that they would be aware of what we were doing. And we have not, however, received any of the past projects I could send out to you. So I will talk to Gary and find out more about what's going on there.
Yeah, there was a steering committee phone call today that I was on, and that was the first agenda item. And what they decided to do is they're going to just put together the protocol. They have a protocol and send it.
Okay,
and they thought that would probably be the best way to handle it. You know, the only thing is that unlike the CFAS abstracts, which are public documents because they come off of CRISP, this is not a public document. So, you know, we just ask that you respect and not send it around.
Well, I did the same, though. I sent the abstracts and the specific aims.
Oh, you did. Okay. So it is.
I mean, it's a 30-page document I sent them.
Yeah, 30. I know. Yeah, and the one you're getting, I forgot how long sections A, B, C, and D are, but that's what they're going to send. Lori, do you happen to remember how long it is?
No.
Yeah, I think I think it may be close to that.
That's okay. Probably.
I mean, because I mean, I sent, you know, the specific aims that everyone had. So
okay, all right.
We'll get something that we can make sense of and see what we're doing.
All right.
All right. Are there any other new business here or any other business that we need to talk about? There were the items that were left over from last month's phone call as well as the new ones.
I just wanted to add to Andy, this is Leila, that if you're looking for, I have done a number of calculations to find prime records. So the data set that I have is coded a couple of different ways. It has two variables that determine the expert examiner, the most expert examiner, and the first record done by each of those. So all of the records in the database currently have a couple of variables that may be of interest in determining the primary record.
That's good to know.
Yeah, there shouldn't be too much legwork with that. If you can determine what people want, I think it's pretty much already done.
Well, I know that people want some information about certain of the facial characteristics because they want to start correlating them with some of the behavioral or brain changes. And so that's why I'm kind of pushing to try to get something usable by April.
Yeah, what they're looking for is in terms of the most expert examiner in the hierarchy and the first record, second, third, et cetera, done by that by experts.
Mm-hmm.
I have them all ranked. So just let me know what you want, and I may be able to help out.
Okay, well, if we can get them by the end of April, then we'll be okay. All right, but I know that people want to start getting some of their data out, and they are dependent upon those dysmorphology data to know who's in what group, et cetera. So,
well,
we'd like to get that.
We may very well have the data. I doubt we'll have a cross-database query tool by then, so we may have to.
No, that's all right. I think that people would be willing to go in on limited scales and to just search and make their own databases.
Okay.
You know, combine the databases. Any other issues? Anything from NIAAA?
Can't think of anything right at this moment. I will as soon as we hang up. But one thing, Ed, are you in your office?
No, I'm not. I'm at home.
Okay, so I need to give you a call right after this.
Okie doke.
Okay.
You got my number, right?
I have your number on my cell phone, which I left at home.
All right. It's 858-278-1693.
Hey, Sarah?
Now I'll get a pen to write it down.
858-278-1693. And thank you, everybody, for joining in.
Okie dokie.
We'll talk next.
Good to talk to you, Ed. Take care.
Take care, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.